KCBO, 1230 AM, W255 DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The president shocks the markets, posting on social media last hour he'll slap a 25% tariff on iPhones if Apple doesn't move manufacturing to the U.S. Mr. Trump broached the subject last week in Qatar.
We've treated you really good. We put up with all the plants that you built in China for years. India can take care of themselves. They're doing very well. We want you to build here.
He's also threatening 50% tariffs on imports from the EU. Dow futures down 606 right now. We're learning the small plane crash in a residential neighborhood of San Diego yesterday. CBS's Carter Evans.
We understand the plane may have clipped a power transmission line on the way down before it hit the ground here and then skidded down the street, leaking fuel and creating essentially a streak of fire.
At least three of the six people on board were killed. The suspect in the shooting deaths of two Israeli embassy staffers in Washington has now been charged with murder. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. May is Lyme Disease Awareness Month, and the warmer weather makes the ticks more active. And ticks are found just about everywhere in Wisconsin and can carry other serious infections besides Lyme disease. Dr. James Thatcher is a physician at the Aspirus Tick-Borne Illness Center. He recommends a variety of ways to prevent tick bites. You can use EPA-approved chemical repellents like DEET to treat your clothing.
But it's a chemical, and I have children, and I'm not going to use a chemical on them, so I'm always searching for more.
You can also find natural tick repellents made with essential oils or make your own.
Cedarwood oil, lemongrass, thyme, rosemary, clove, geranium, these chemicals, or herbs. And usually they'd have a lavender in it, too.
Wearing bright colors will allow you to see the ticks on your clothing, especially the baby nymphs that can look like a speck of pepper. Dr. Thatcher says to remove your outside clothing right away when you come home from the outdoors and do a full body check, including your hair. If you find a tick, you want to remove it right away without squeezing the belly.
You want to lift and you want to pull back, okay? Because when the tick is attached to you, it's building up its stomach juices to infect you.
Symptoms of Lyme disease can vary, but often include fever, fatigue, joint pain, and a rash. And in some cases, symptoms can progress or persist if not treated early.
We provide preventative treatment for people who have contracted a tick bite, and we're trying to prevent the infection from developing. We also treat chronic infections in patients who have been suffering for a long time.
So if you're bitten by a tick, remove it right and pay attention.
Powerful computer in your pocket, call the smartphone and just take a picture and trend it. Because if you're, God forbid, you're infected with Lyme disease, if you have a rash, at least you're more likely to be treated.
Stay safe and enjoy the great outdoors. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot.
The Brewers sink the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Pirates 8-5. After a nearly two-hour rain delay during the sixth, the Brewers started Aaron Civale. Then right-hander Carlos Rodriguez came in and managed to continue pitching after the long delay. Pat Murphy.
You know, it feels like Civale pitched yesterday. But to be able to pitch after that delay, to delay almost 2 hours and have the mental capacity in his first outing of the year in the big leagues, get his first major league win, he deserves it.
NFL, the Packers' annual charity softball game is tonight in Grand Chute, Wisconsin.
I know the fans are a big part of this game. They show out every year and pack that stadium out, so hopefully we can get as many fans as possible out there. It's going to be another awesome event, another awesome year. I know the players are excited to, you know, show off their softball skills. We've been working and training very hard. Come out, bring the family. It'll be an awesome event to be able to watch the Packer players play a different sport.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have a pretty nice Memorial Day weekend coming up. Plenty of sunshine, highs of the 60s, maybe a little frost on some of the mornings. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s. Tonight, we'll drop back into the low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, it's an all-star pre-recorded cast of guests with WBAY's Emerson Lehman, director Michael Collins, Civic Media's Eliza Cusson, and Terry Barr for Bar Band Friday Night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Everybody travel safe. Take a moment to remember the real reason behind the weekend. Enjoy your family and friends. Eat too many brats. And tune in this afternoon to the Todd Alba Show. Live from my back deck here on Lake Wissota. What could possibly go wrong? Going to be a good time from 2 to 4 today. A lot coming up here. We're going to continue our series of interviews with the three candidates for state Democratic Party chair. We had Devin Remicker on Wednesday, Joe Zepecki yesterday, William Garcia on in our next half hour to get one more round of conversations with them to ask why Democratic Party members in county parties all across the state, when they gather in Wisconsin Dells next month, should pick them to succeed Ben Wickler, who's stepping down as a state Democratic Party chair. And, of course, it's Friday, so we've got Dr. Kristen Lyerly here, too. So we'll talk about things in the news health-wise and a couple of important health notes, especially dealing with pregnancy. So we have the official OBGYN of the show here to talk to us all about that. First, the official meteorologist for the show is here to talk about the sunshine. And Kristen, you said the nicest thing about Brittany when you first woke up this morning.
It was just the truth. I woke up and I looked out the window and there was beautiful, bright sunshine coming in. And the first thing I thought was Brittany Merlot.
How great is that? It's like these two little rays of sunshine here.
Well, she also gets it when it's raining, too. So, I mean, it's both sides.
So you got it. Yeah, you got it. You got to give it to her that way. And again, we're all acknowledging it certainly could be warmer. But if it's going to be, you know, cool and sunny versus normal temperatures and rainy, I think we know where most of us are going to come down on that, Brittany.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. I mean, we can deal with the frost advisories far up north, probably still again tonight and then Saturday night before those stop. And I think our temperatures are going to warm up enough to where frost is no longer a concern. So, yeah, paddling a crisp morning for a ton of sunshine, I'll take the trade. We do have warmer temperatures on tap by next weekend. But for this weekend, we're just going to sit here nice and comfortable, bright and beautiful, calm winds, and no rain in the forecast until Tuesday. Maybe places far northwest could see some rain trying to move in late Monday night. But otherwise, we're looking at sunshine on repeat, temperatures slowly getting more mild. We'll be in those mid-50s far east by Lake Michigan and far north today to about the low 60s far west. And then tomorrow, we're going to put that on repeat. Then by Sunday, Monday, we're looking at mid to upper 60s, a few 70s across the state. And we're going to hold that into next week. And like I said, getting even warmer after that. But I'll take the dry conditions, comfortable conditions, and a good long weekend. I'm excited.
I like that. Nice, comfortable, breezy, and beautiful sunshine on repeat.
Yes.
Let's just put that forecast on repeat. That would work out really well. Yeah.
So plus you mentioned 10 degrees.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Add that. That would be a good part. You mentioned that you're going to have a family that you're hosting this weekend. Are you going to be doing some grilling for that?
Oh, yes. We're definitely going to be grilling. We're going to be having a campfire, too. That fire danger is finally low across the state, so you can do that without worry. So we're going to cook some meals on the fire. Oh, we love doing that kind of stuff. What else? Probably doing some kayaking. Swimming. A little too cold for that.
Yeah, well.
But, of course, you know, exploring the great outdoors. What about you guys?
Having just come off vacation, we're going to take it really easy. We're still kind of catching up on the jet lag, you know, going to bed a little earlier than we normally would, trying to get that body clock back on track here. So a lot around the house, because there's been so much to jump into back here. I haven't really fully unpacked yet. There's still a suitcase. Seriously? And we did the laundry, but then there's so much laundry to put away. You don't even want to know what the closet looks like right now. So, but there's going to be some grilling. There's going to be a little fire pit going, and the pontoon's in. So maybe we'll just put on a hoodie and go for a little jaunt that way. Kristen, how about you? Are you going to be doing big plans or relaxing things?
Well, after that, I think I'm going to come to Lake Wasota and bring a pack of brats. And when should I be there?
Todd's show starts at 2:00. So as soon as you can get in the car, the better. You
know? All right. I got to go. I'm kidding.
Good. No.
Kristen, pick me up. Let's go.
Okay. Let's do it.
I'm liking it. The more the merrier. And Parker, you said you are calling a baseball game.
Yeah. Calling Super Regionals at UW-Whitewater tomorrow. And then I think possibly doing some of my aunt and uncle's on Memorial Day.
Super Regionals? What is that?
Super Regionals, yeah. They changed the format a couple of years ago. So now Super Regional, if you win that, you go to the Final 8, which is the College World Series.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Gotcha.
They're getting close.
This is a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they're like number 3 in the country, so we're hopeful. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Let's see. Robin Tigerton coming down. I forgot to mention I have a new job for the Village of Tigerton, watering plants along Main Street. So that's great. And he wants to second the notion that Kristen and Brittany are sunshine even on the dark and dreary days. Thank you, Rob, for that. Always appreciate the comments. And Brittany, you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Take it easy. Hey, you can always get our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. We have our daily newsletter. We have our new Sunday morning newsletter that I write with a look at the week in Wisconsin politics. And there's a sports newsletter that Christina Laurier is putting together once a month. And I was looking at her social media posts this week, and they include a note about another hike in ticket prices if you want to see UW women's volleyball. But well, yeah, that's costing more money. It is also a reflection of the success of the program and also the whole name, image, licensing thing where college athletes are, you know, getting paid now. So a general admission season ticket that cost $60 back in 2021 and $150 last year will now be $225 in the new season. So, again, another chunk of change, but to see a team that is one of the very best in the country. So, for more sports stories like that from Christina Laurier, sign up for that newsletter as well over at upnorthnewswi.com. Kristen, I want to talk to you in a bit about, you know, RFK Jr. and the terrible impact on American health that it portends. But there were two notes on the calendar, kind of these National Awareness Days, and I thought it was a good opportunity to talk about pregnancy and women's health. And so we're going to cover both of them. I think it was Wednesday was World Preeclampsia Day, which deals with high blood pressure. And then today happens to be International Day to End Obstetric Fistula. And that one says here, it's an international day to spread awareness about a childbirth-related injury that affects women primarily in poor economic regions. Medically, it's described as a hole in the birth canal that occurs due to prolonged labor without medical intervention and other factors during childbirth. The United Nations Population Fund says obstetric fistula is one of the most severe and tragic injuries that can occur during childbirth. I was not as aware of that as I was preeclampsia. And again, it's not to scare people, but I feel like we always have to remind people pregnancy is not the easiest thing for people, and it does not always have the Norman Rockwell kind of outcome.
No, I think we tend to have this very sunny, idea of what pregnancy is. It's joyful. There's a baby involved. And in many cases, that is true. But there are lots of things that can go wrong. Preeclampsia is actually fairly common in the United States. It's always associated, almost always associated with a blood pressure issue. It's a blood vessel issue. So it can present in lots of different ways. There can be vision changes. It can be a terrible headache. It can be a liver problem or problems with your kidneys. But regardless, we tend to see this toward the end of pregnancy. And the cure is to deliver the baby. Because once the baby is out, people tend to get better. Having said that, though, people can develop preeclampsia after the baby is out because of pregnancy-related and hormonal changes. So this is one of the reasons why we need care for our moms in the postpartum period. Women can die of preeclampsia, of high blood pressure issues in the postpartum period. This is complex. It is probably the most studied condition associated with pregnancy, and we haven't figured it out yet. I don't think there's one thing that causes it, but this is the reason why towards the end of your pregnancy, we have you come back so often to check your blood pressure, and we're so careful about asking about headaches and weird symptoms, because it is fairly common, especially in this country.
Yeah. So between that and the obstetric fistula, it again, just I can't underscore enough, being married to an OBGYN as well, don't skip those appointments. I mean, now for Sherry, she'll say, well, when they have a no-show, I've got extra time to dictate my charts. I mean, there's that. But you'd much rather have that person in and continue to be monitored and to get prenatal care at all. There's still a troubling number of people who come in and say, yeah, I've been pregnant for the past, 38 weeks. I couldn't afford to come in or whatever until now. It still happens.
Right. I couldn't get that. People have so many barriers to care, which is why we need to reduce the number of barriers. And actually, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists is changing the way that we deliver prenatal care. Right now, and for a very long time, it's been come in every month until you get to the middle of your pregnancy, and then it's every 2 weeks, and then it's every week after that. Well, now we're starting to look at things like telehealth and what is your general health? What are your risk factors? How often do you actually need to come in? Can we send you home with a blood pressure cuff so you can check your blood pressure at home? So we've really reimagined how we deliver prenatal care so that it works for our patients and removes barriers, especially in a time when people are really struggling to get access to health care in places like rural areas.
And again, it underscores the notion of why you need that Medicaid expansion for increased coverage for women postpartum instead of 60 days to 1 year. And 48 states have done it, just us in Arkansas. And in both cases, you've got Republicans in those states that are blocking it. Not all Republicans. In Wisconsin's case, it's one Republican. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is stopping that measure from coming up for a vote, which would pass overwhelmingly if it did. And we say that again because you really can't pester your legislator enough nicely to say, get this bill passed, get the speaker to put it up for a vote.
Yeah, and to be honest, in Arkansas, they at least did some things. They didn't pass postpartum extension, but they did some things to make it easier for moms to get care. And in Wisconsin, we've done nothing. In fact, we're making it harder for them to get birth control. We're making it harder for them to get abortion care. We're making it harder for women to get postpartum care. And let's talk about childcare. We're making it impossible for people to get childcare. At no point in the spectrum of getting pregnant, having a baby, or taking care of your children are Republicans making it easy for us.
No. And it, again, it's incredible to think that that caucus, which has women in it and all the women that they represent, that they still stand in the way of women's health in this way. But that is exactly what they're doing. So that's why we continue talking about expanding Medicaid coverage, that it isn't just some kind of welfare handout, that this is good public policy that, again, is happening everywhere else but here. So, Kristen, thank you for telling us more about that. I want to tell folks before we get to the break that you can win Milwaukee Brewers tickets. It's Friday. We're going to be doing this most Fridays throughout the season. Text a keyword. Each Friday we'll give you one that you text in using the Civic Media app. And then one entry is drawn statewide to win four tickets to a specific game. In this case, it's next Tuesday's game against the Boston Red Sox. Four tickets to next Tuesday's game if you text the word radio using the Civic Media app, radio, R-A-D-I-O. If you do that, you will be in the running for potentially winning 4 tickets to next Tuesday's game. The Brewers were winners 8-5 in Pittsburgh last night, and they will do it again this evening. Pre-game coverage starts at 5:05 on several Civic Media radio stations. Then they'll play Pittsburgh again Saturday and Sunday. Still ahead this hour, William Garcia, candidate for state Democratic Party chair. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matinair on Air.
Attention! Have you racked up $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by making minimum payments? With credit card debt reaching all-time highs, National Debt Relief is notifying consumers about significant debt relief options currently being made available to help those with overwhelming credit card debt. These options may reduce a large portion of credit card debt for those who qualify. You don't need to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan, and you may only have to pay back a fraction of what you owe, even if you have bad credit. National Debt Relief has already reduced the credit card debt for more than 550,000 consumers, so don't wait. If you owe $10,000, $20,000, or even $100,000 in credit card debt, you can now take advantage of this financial debt relief as the cost of living continues to skyrocket. To check what debt reduction you may qualify for, call 800-929-1313. 800-929-1313. Again, that's 800-929-1313.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is brought on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We are live from our studios in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes with Ian Welch. Again, if you are not familiar with what we're doing these days, during the 7 and 8 o'clock hours, we come back here to our Wausau studios to talk about what's going on in central Wisconsin. Right now, 45 degrees under partly cloudy skies as we head towards the holiday weekend. And coming up in just a couple of minutes, we will have our number for the day quiz with Ian to see if he can make it 4 out of 5 for this week.
Yes.
And then after that, we'll be sending it back to a Pat Kreitlow as coming up at 8:35, a very interesting conversation. He has been talking to all the candidates for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairperson this week. And today it will be William Garcia. So again, Pat will talk to William Garcia, candidate for Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair, coming up in just a few minutes. I mentioned a little bit earlier that this afternoon I am heading over to a D.C. Everest for the Wausau West Warriors and the D.C. Everest Evergreens in high school softball.
I would love for you to tune in. I would love for you to listen in, either here on the radio or online, whatever it may be. But also, it would be great if you came out. It's over at the DC Everest Softball Diamond. It is the community service game. And this game is being played in memory of Braden Bone. And, of course, he is the young man, the DC Everest student, the young man who was part of the DC Everest baseball program, who loved baseball. And, unfortunately, he took his own life just a few months ago. It was a case of sextortation. And this community service night is in memory of Braden Bone and also to help help raise awareness for ICAC. And ICAC is Internet Crimes Against Children. And in this era of the Internet, there's some positive aspects, obviously, of the Internet, but there's also a lot that is negative and even dangerous. And young people, I mean, we all make mistakes, adults, young people, and you get caught in a situation where you think, oh, there's no way out. And unfortunately, in this case, a young person felt there was no way out and took his own life. Well, the people that do this need to be stopped. And that's what Internet Crimes Against Children does. And all proceeds from the event today, the community service game between Wausau West and DC Everest in high school softball, will benefit the family of Braden Bone and support of raising awareness of Internet crimes against children. So let's pack the stands over at DC Everest today. Again, the varsity is at 4:30. The JV gets underway at 2:30. So again, get out there early. You can watch the JV action starting at 2:30 and then the varsity at 4:30. But sure, a real special night. And that's one thing DC Everest has done really well in softball in recent years. They always have these special events. And a lot of the time it's been against the Warriors, so I've been able to see some of these events. Often there'll be special uniforms and special presentations and the like. So it's more than a softball game today. So, again, if you have the opportunity, it'll be a beautiful afternoon.
Yes, it will.
Head on over to DCE. If you see me, say hello, and hopefully we'll see you over there. And if not, we'll be talking a lot about this during our broadcast as well. So I'll be on the air at Everest at 4:20 for the pregame, 4:30 for the first pitch, Warriors and the Evergreens in high school softball, right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Mm-hmm. By the way, I was... Real fast, before we get to the number for the day. Okay. I was talking to Yi Leng Zhang the other day. He came in for a meeting because we were talking about the Wausau Hmong Festival that's coming up in a few months. He just came by and we were talking. And he mentioned that you and he graduated high school the same year. I did not know that.
Yes, we did. I knew him in high school.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, that was like, he said, yeah. He said, you know, did you know? He said, did you know that? And I said, no, I did not know that. So I thought I'd, you know, I said, I'm going to bring it up. And he's, you know, had very nice things to say about you. And, and you know, and obviously he does a lot of great work.
Back in high school, he was always working for positive change.
Now, he just keeps going and going and going. And he does the same thing with you. And, again, coming up next week, 1 week from today, you open up Anastasia over at the Vinega Theater at the UWSP Wausau.
1 week, we got our first show.
And man, we'll have Brenton Canese and some other members of the cast joining us. Yes. It'll be airing on Wednesday morning. So we'll talk to folks from the show on Wednesday of next week, Anastasia. So again, folks, get those tickets. Shows next weekend and the following weekend as well. We'll talk a lot about it next week, so we'll get back into that and a lot more information next week. But let's do our number for the day quiz. Normally we do it in the final segment, but we have Mike Clemens in the final segment today on Friday, so we're gonna go right into it. The topic is Mickey Mouse. And last week we talked about Mickey Mouse's, I think, first appearance ever, right?
Yep.
Well, it was on this date that the first talking cartoon of Mickey Mouse came out, titled The Carnival Kid.
Okay.
So this last week we were talking about the first appearance with a silent one. Mm-hmm. But your number for the day is, what year did the first talking cartoon of Mickey Mouse, The Carnival Kid, be released?
Okay.
Your choices are 1919, 1924, and 1929. So 1919, 1924, or 1929. What year, on May the 23rd, did the first talking cartoon of Mickey Mouse, the Carnival Kid, get released?
You know what? I'm going to go with my gut here. I'm just going to say 1929. I'm going to go as C as my final answer. I'm going to say 1929.
All right. The first talking cartoon of Mickey Mouse, the Carnival Kid, was released in 1929.
Yes.
4 out of 5.
Awesome.
An A grade this week. How about that?
Awesome.
Next week, you only get 4 chances.
Yeah, I got very focused.
So it's a good thing. All right, we're going to take a timeout and then back with Pat Kreitlow again, talking to one of the candidates for Democratic Party Chair, William Garcia, coming up next.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. An update on a well-known Madison crime. The man convicted of killing UW-Madison student Brittany Zimmerman has died in prison. Brittany was from Marshfield and 21 years old in 2008 when she was found murdered in her home on Doty Street. It took years, but eventually police got a DNA match from the scene. They told Brittany's family the DNA matched a man named David Call. And after years of waiting, Brittany's mom told the press, saying she couldn't continue to stay silent, knowing her daughter's killer was not being held responsible. Authorities later arrested David Call in 2020. Prosecutors said he followed her into her home that day. He eventually pled guilty as a part of a plea deal. Call was serving at the Dodge Correctional Institute, but records updated Thursday morning show that he died. Those records do not show a cause of death. This crime shocked Madison and prompted fear in the UW-Madison community. And the warmer weather has the UTV and ATV community ready to hit the trails. But there's some things you should do first. The Wisconsin DNR encourages off-road recreationalists to get their ATV-UTV safety certification by taking an approved course. Just last year, 40 people died in ATV-UTV crashes in Wisconsin, and most of them were not wearing helmets. Lieutenant Jacob Holschklaw, who's the Wisconsin DNR Off-Highway Vehicle Administrator, says they want folks to create positive memories and have a great experience on the trails, but that only happens if everyone returns home safely at the end of the trip. Also, if you were born on or after January 1st of 1988, the class is required, but anyone can take it. Even those who ride only a few times a year or at a relative's house should take the course. You can take it in the classroom or online. It's about 6 hours long. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun Norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a pretty nice Memorial Day weekend coming up. Plenty of sunshine, highs of the 60s, maybe a little frost on some of the mornings. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s. Tonight, we'll drop back into the low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time from beautiful Lake Wissota with Pat Kreitlow. Also, Peter Rapine from EFOM's World talking about the Badger Honor Flight and even sports with Brady Ewing. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back on this Friday morning, May 23rd, 2025. This is Up North. This is what was once called Up North News Radio. See, this is what Jane Matinere does, is all this time that I have been saying that the thing that used to be called Twitter, I now need to call this the thing that used to be called Up North News Radio. We are hoping to hear from William Garcia, candidate for state party chair, in just a sec. I had to email him the correct link. We changed links when we moved to a three-hour radio show here. Otherwise, like all of our other guests, they'll sometimes give us a call at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And we talk to guests over the phone that way as well sometimes when that's what has to happen. But that's okay, because it gives me a moment to tell you that you can text the keyword radio to us using the Civic Media app. We have stations and shows all across the state that on Fridays during the Brewers season are going to be giving away four packs of Brewers tickets to specific upcoming games. And so you have to listen to this show, to Matt and Air on Air, to Tom Hartman, to Todd Alba, to Maggie Dawn, all the usual suspects. And if you do that, then you can get that keyword, which today is radio, text it to us through the Civic Media app. We pick one randomly, and it's four tickets, in this case, to next Tuesday evening's game versus the Boston Red Sox. Get the complete rules over at civicmedia.us. All right, with that business out of the way, let's talk and check in now with William Garcia, candidate for state Democratic Party chair, who joins us from, I'm sure, beautiful La Crosse County, I'm guessing, William?
Absolutely.
Hey, good morning.
It's gorgeous.
Thank you for being here. Always appreciate it. How goes the run? Again, three candidates in the race. This is our second time through talking to all the candidates. We've come through the Congressional District Democratic Party conventions, all the county party meetings you've had to go to. What's your view of how things are going so far?
Well, I think things are going great. I've had an amazing time going to all of the county, going to all the CD conventions, talking to people about what I want to do with the party, where I think the party needs to go. And I'm hearing a lot of support. In fact, I'm actually really proud that both of the other candidates have kind of altered their platform somewhat to be a little more aligned with mine. Because of what I've been saying and how much it's how people are responding to it in terms of the need to strengthen and grow county parties. That's now a part of kind of everyone's pitch. And I'm really happy for that. And I'm going to continue going forward and talking about the need to focus on our local county parties, on our other local organizations in order to grow and build them, because that is how we're going to bring in support for 2026.
I'm not in any way, shape or form taking credit for what you're just saying there about county parties, only to say that I, like you, have been part of a chorus for the past, I don't know how many years, talking about the need for the state Democratic Party in this case. And again, the Republican Party has its own infrastructure debates like this, but that the state party needs to both listen. It works both ways. Listen to the people in those local county parties and also provide them with the resources they need rather than top down management of the party. And so when you tell me that, you know, you're saying that and that you're hearing that from the other candidates as well, I think that that only bodes well writ large for not just the entire Wisconsin Democratic Party, but for, you know, voters who aren't just in the big Democratic strongholds.
Yeah. And that's what the way that we are going to flip the assembly seats that we need to flip in order to get a majority in 2026, the way that we're going to get the Senate seats and retain the governorship is by decreasing the margin of Republican support in smaller counties and rural areas. This is the path to victory. And that path goes directly through county party organizations. County parties need to be trusted that they know best how to organize in their neighborhood and how to talk to people in their county. We need to start treating county party officials like the experts they are in their neighborhoods. And that is really the basis behind my campaign. I'm the only candidate who has worked as a county party chair. I'm the only candidate who's a CD chair. I'm the only candidate who's coming from this system. And that means I'm really the only chair that knows exactly what the problems are with the kind of top-down DPW organization as it is right now and how to fix them.
Let's talk as well about the development this week. We had Devin Remicker on Wednesday, who had just received the endorsement from outgoing chair Ben Wickler. Joe Zepecki reacted to it yesterday. So let me ask your reaction as well to Ben Wickler deciding to make an endorsement in this race and doing so for Devin Remicker.
Sure. I was kind of expecting it, to be honest. I think Ben and Devin have worked closely for many, many years, and I think that's great. The problem is that this lack of focus on the county parties is a problem that we've had for many, many years. And so like I said, I really like Devin, but I am the person who's genuinely going to focus on county parties and maintaining and growing them because I have experienced the problems that we're having over the last 6 years, and I'm the one that can really come in and fix them. Ben and Devin should be extraordinarily proud of the growth and the progress and the strength of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. I'm proud of it as well. But what needs to be fixed in this current moment is this refocusing on county parties and other local organizations like our caucuses, like our Young Democrat chapters. And I am the person that can maintain everything that Devin and Ben have built while also fixing this one key issue.
It is an important thing about this race that we've all noticed is that obviously there are a lot of good things to say about Ben Wickler's tenure and certainly record, but that it wasn't perfect, that the party is not perfect. So how do you both acknowledge what's good, but also, you know, shine a light on what it is that needs to be changed? Well, and go ahead, Willen.
I was just also going to say, I want to remind everyone that the Wisconsin Democrats are on the forefront in the country in terms of the strength of their party. The Wisconsin Democrats are stronger and more active than just about any Democratic Party in the country. And what that means is that we're often the first to do things. We are the vanguard. We are out in front on everything. And sometimes that means that we make mistakes because we don't have any examples to pull from. And so in this wonderful growth that Ben Wickler and Devin have built, we have left the county parties behind a little bit. And that's the thing that needs to be addressed right now.
I have to ask you about a hypothetical that may not come to be, but is going to be very important for the next chair if it does. And that deals with Governor Tony Evers, who has not made a decision yet on running for a third term. If he does not, the easiest guess to make that I'm about to make here is that much like in 2018, when he first ran, it was him and more than a dozen other Democrats running for governor. If Tony Evers decides not to run for a third term, there will almost certainly again be upwards of a dozen people running. Not the worst problem to have, having a deep bench of talent. But, I mean, it's almost a logistical nightmare trying to be fair. There's county chairs who are going to want to endorse somebody, but maybe they shouldn't, either because of county rules or state rules. I mean, let's face it, whether you get elected or not, if you stay active in the party, that is a bit of a minefield that Democrats have to be looking at if the governor decides not to run for re-election.
Well, and honestly, it's a minefield that I've experienced already, because here in the 3rd Congressional District, we have had strong, robust primaries with multiple candidates the last three cycles. So we are, I am experienced with working on that. My preference is always, and in fact, what I will be arguing and mandating as chair is that the state party should be providing resources and the infrastructure that helps every one of the candidates who wants to run for governor speak directly to voters without preference towards any one of them. I do not want a party that puts its finger on the scale in terms of trying to decide before the voter gets to decide who's going to be the who's going to win that primary. It's up to the voters. That kind of primary, it motivates our base. It brings out the best vision for the moment. And that's what a lot of primaries are. Primaries are not about which candidate do I, you know, really love or whatever. It's about, because they're all great. It's about who is presenting.
We're talking to William Garcia. He's a candidate for state Democratic Party chair. That decision will be made in Wisconsin Dells the middle of next month at the state Democratic Party convention, where, as the party announced yesterday, Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock will be the keynote speaker on the first night of the convention. And I'm sure, William, you agree that that's a pretty good get for a party that is plenty motivated, but wouldn't mind hearing from Senator Warnock as well.
That it's a wonderful get. I've been lucky enough to hear Senator Warnock speak in the past. He's an incredible speaker. Makes me a little, excited as well, because that means I'll actually be sharing a stage with Senator Raphael Warnock, because all three of the candidates also give small speeches that night in support for their campaigns. So I'll get to present with Senator Warnock.
The big news this week in terms of 2026 politics was that appeals court judge Chris Taylor is getting into the race for a state Supreme Court. We, of course, have to acknowledge that there may be more candidates. It is very early yet. But if this were to be the field with appeals court judge Taylor versus Justice Rebecca Bradley, you know, from the far right end of the Supreme Court bench, that is a, I guess all I'm saying is that would be a competitive race, and that's really what you're looking for, is a competitive race against a well-tenured state Supreme Court justice.
A competitive race against also the most extreme conservative candidate on the bench. That is, that's what we need to be thinking about. This race is not going to be the $100 million race that we had last year, because it is not going to flip the ideological makeup of the Supreme Court like the last two Supreme Court elections have done. So it's going to be, and that means that we need to be, again, my plan, focusing on growing and strengthening county parties, because our county party volunteers and our county party officials are going to be vital in getting the message out about Chris Taylor. Because again, the money that poured into Wisconsin the last two Supreme Court cycles will not be replicated, because the ideological makeup of the bench is not at stake.
We are talking to William Garcia. He's candidate for state Democratic Party chair. There are three candidates in the race, and that decision will be made by delegates at the state Democratic Party convention next month in Wisconsin Dells. And we've been very privileged to be able to go through two rounds of interviews with the candidates here so far, and we'll continue to talk about the issues that are important to it. Before we go to break, let me tell you that, again, we have a Brewers tickets giveaway. Text the keyword radio to us via the Civic Media app. There will be one entry drawn statewide to win four tickets to next Tuesday evening's game against the Boston Red Sox. You can get the complete rules over at civicmedia.us, and we will do this most Fridays throughout the course of the season. We'll pause here. I'm Pat Kreitlow, reminding you that keep that Pledge of Allegiance in mind this weekend. All of it, liberty and justice for all. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The independent state legislature theory met a skeptical U.S. Supreme Court in 2023 in Moore v. Harper, a North Carolina gerrymandering case. The Michigan GOP tried to employ the fringe theory to undo Michigan's Question 2 citizen ballot initiative, but the U.S. Supreme Court refused the case May 19th. Proponents argue the independent state legislature theory gives legislatures ultimate power over federal election rules based on a widely dismissed interpretation of the election clause of the U.S. Constitution. In North Carolina's case, the legislature admitted it gerrymandered but said it had the final say and the courts and governor had no jurisdiction. In 2022, Michigan's Promote the Vote Question 2 ballot initiative passed 60% to 40%. It enshrined multiple voting rights in the state constitution, including 9 days of early voting, guaranteeing the right to vote without harassment, offering a permanent vote-by-mail list, and mandating drop boxes and several other important voting reforms. 11 GOP legislators tried to invalidate the ballot question using the ISL theory. They argued that only the state legislature could make election law, not those pesky constituents. The Michigan Supreme Court dismissed the case in April 2024, and on May 19th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the case. We have more on ISL and the Michigan case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It's Morning with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. Again, at 22 and 52 after the hours, we have our local WASA segments. And as we do on Fridays, always a great way to get into the weekend, talking to our sports reporter from Civic Media and 98.9 WXCO, Mike Clemens. And Mike, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Chad?
Hey, I'd love going into a long weekend. I'd love the three-day weekend, I'll say that much. But I know that you're going to be traveling around for the holiday weekend, but we'll get into that in just a few moments. Let's start with the Brewers last night. Folks had to stay up a little later than they expected. Those early starts at Pittsburgh usually are nice, but darn near a two-hour rain delay. But in the end, the crew able to start off a four-game weekend series with a win over the Pirates 8-5. Great to see Yelich getting a couple of home runs.
Yeah. At this time yesterday, the forecast was 100% chance of rain at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. They got through six innings and two outs, and then the ump said, okay, that's it, and he called for the tarp. 1 hour, 50-minute delay. Aaron Savalle, you know, Pat Murphy got him back, so that was good news, and he pitched a couple innings. And then Carlos Rodriguez, who they brought up, came in, right-hander. And then, you know, he went and sat down, and when they came back from the nearly two-hour rain delay, he told Murphy, I can still go. Warmed up and went out there and pitched another inning or two. So they were very pleased with that. Yelly, who is 2-for-34 in his last at-bats, and then the first inning gets a three-run home run, and then hit another one later on. And Joey Ortiz, who's been struggling at the plate, got a hit last night, and a home run, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, they went on and won 8-5 last night, and that series continues tonight. Four games series over the weekend.
I got to ask you about we're Memorial Day weekend, and we talk about the NFL, but there's been a lot of talk about the tush push and a lot of talk about the Green Bay Packers being the ones behind it. Well, the vote to ban the tush push failed pretty narrowly, but there's apparently more to the story than what we've been hearing about. Is that true?
Well, I've been saying for the last month, I don't buy that the Packers really pitched this thing, that this was their idea. So, you know, we go back to the Eagles. Nick Sirianni, he talked about this in detail at the Combine in Indianapolis in February, about how they spent the offseason developing that play and perfecting it, making sure that they had, you know, the exact same formation, legal formation, the leverage, all that stuff. And it was very successful for them. So, you know, we go to Philadelphia, cover the Packers. They lose to the Eagles 22-10. Then they, you know, beat the Commanders. They eventually go on and win the Super Bowl over the Chiefs. So we're at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, sitting down at a conference room at a table with about me and 12 other reporters around a conference table, and Brian Gutekunst, the Packers GM, comes in. Well, on Twitter that morning was, yeah, there's now a move to ban the Eagles' tush-push play. Too dangerous. Rugby slows down the games, blah, blah, blah. And the people pitching this are the Green Bay Packers? Like, really? You know, didn't Tucker Kraft run that play like a half dozen times last season? So Gutekunst is coming in, and we said, do you know about this? And he goes, yeah. He said, there's a report from the league, you know, that's, you know, it could cause catastrophic injury, and I haven't had a chance to go through it. Okay. So then one of the other reporters, they find Mark Murphy in the hallway, and they ask him about it, and typical unfiltered Mark Murphy, he goes, wasn't me. Okay, well, then this is Matt LaFleur? I mean, who is this Matt LaFleur, and what have you done with the guy I covered the last 6 years? So at the next NFL owners meeting, there's Matt, and in a very kind of prepared statement says, yes, we believe that it's a rugby-style play it used to be illegal to push from behind, and we just think it kind of slows down the game, takes away from what looks like football. And, by the way, you know, there's a report from the league that says catastrophic injury. You know, if someone breaks their neck, we could get sued. That's what – anyway, to me, the league is run by lawyers, okay? Mark Murphy, lawyer. His replacement, Ed Policy, lawyer. Not only for player contracts, but everything they do when they build new buildings at Titletown and all that stuff, lawyers. And so when you get a health official says, hey, so what if somebody breaks their neck in that? We could get sued for that. Well, the lawyers tell that to the owners. Now the owners get cold feet and say, well, we got to kill that. You know, just this is the league that got sued for concussions
right. And
lost, right? And so I just thought, I think that's where this is coming from. And I started saying that about a month ago. Well, guess what? It went to another vote this week, and the vote was 22-10. It came two votes short of banning the play, which, by the way, is the same score that the Packers lost. And so then a reporter in the hallway was talking to the president of the Lions. The Lions had also had, allegedly, put in a proposal that said, let's change the seating. Instead of winning your division, like we had in the NFC North, you know, a team like the Packers, they had 11 wins, and yet, you know, they got a lower seed because they came out of a very competitive division. Maybe we should just go by what your record is. Well, that would change the whole dynamics of, you know, winning your division
right. First,
right? The president of the Lions, Rob Wood, told a reporter, yeah, well, we were nudged by the league. You're kidding. So then Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, he got a source from the Packers that says, we were nudged too. And it's like, see? I told you.
Hey, and real quickly before we wrap it up, you're heading to a combination tonight of football and softball. Jordan Love's big game tonight.
Yeah, it started with Brett, you know, over 25 years ago, and Jordy Nelson was ahead of it for a while, Donald Driver, and then he did the handoff to Jordan Love, the celebrity softball tournament, Packers offense against the defense, home run derby at 6 o'clock, first pitch 7:05. It benefits the Jordan Love Hands for Love Foundation, which helps out kids underprivileged in high school maybe get into an activity like sports or band or choir or something. And a whole lot of good things, mental illness help for kids in high school. So they open up the gates at 5 o'clock. It's at the Timber Rattler Stadium, over in Grand Chute.
Sounds good. Hey, Mike, have fun over in Grand Chute tonight. Have a great holiday weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
You too. Great Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Appreciate it.
And that will do it here for the week. And Ian, and again, Ian got the number for the day earlier if you missed
four
it.
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
A solid A.
Great week, and next week we're going to go for 4 for 4.
So I really got to focus.
Yeah, we won't be with you on Monday, but we'll be back on Tuesday morning. But Ian, have a great weekend.
You too, Chip. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Have a great weekend.
And everybody have a wonderful Memorial Day. Enjoy it, and we'll be back next week. Stick around. Coming up next, Matt and Air on Air on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's threatening to slap 25% tariffs on iPhones if Apple's Tim Cook doesn't move all manufacturing to the U.S. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
For Apple in particular, this can be a big deal. Not only because it's one of the most highly valued companies in the world, but also because it primarily relies on foreign manufacturing for its business.
Harvard's filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration as it moves to block foreign students from enrolling at the university. Legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
I can't think of another situation where an administration took an action that is this aggressive against an institution of higher learning.
Memorial Day weekend's here, and there are fears over recent technical mishaps at Newark Airport. CBS's Chris Van Cleve asked Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy.
How big of a test is this summer?
It's going to stress the system. And do I think it's going to be safe? Of course. We're going to get Newark fixed.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.